you look there in Genesis chapter 17, we'll pick it up at verse 10, okay, and then we'll read right down to verse 14, and then we'll go to verses 23 to 27. Genesis 17, verse 10, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee." Now this is a covenant that God is making with Abraham. Okay, in fact, it's that first covenant that you hear about after the flood. It's the first one. The first covenant was that God would never destroy the world again with a flood. And the rainbow symbolizes that covenant. And he says, at the end of that verse, it says, "Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised child whose flesh of the foreskin is not uncircumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." Mm-hmm. Now note that there's a real parallel similarity when you go to John chapter 4, the promise is that everyone in that household, whether they're born, they're your children, or any of your servants, bought with money, everyone under the same household must needs be circumcised, and it's a covenant. It is a pact. And in John chapter 4, are you there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I haven't gotten there yet. In John chapter 4, can't talk and chew gum at the same time. In John chapter 4, verse 53, John 4:53, "So the Father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." Amen. Why? The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, but the belief was associated to an action. And in the same way that everyone in Abraham's house was saved if they believed the word of the covenant, so are we saved if we believe the words of Jesus Christ, and by the grace of God, the majority of my family are saved, including the grandchildren. Because there's a promise that goes in association with what we believe. Amen.
That's right.
And if you look at Acts chapter 16, you'll see this again. Acts 16. In verse 31, Acts 16, 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Mm-hmm. Amen? Believe. So now, because now we have a new covenant, and the new covenant is in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, signed in the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. That is the new covenant by which we are saved, and if you believe that, the chances are that your influence, according to that truth that you're living out, chances are those around you will be saved as well. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever been around people and at first they think you're some kind of fanatic because you're talking about Jesus all the time? Chances are that there's a logic to the divine truth of God that they'll be influenced into salvation as well. Amen? Because it's what every heart needs. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who said that? Joshua chapter 24. Why? Because he wanted the salvation of the Lord by believing what God said. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because he created all. You know, we talk about all the blessings that we live with. I mean, who is here still breathing God's air? Is that not a blessing?
Yes,
it is. Mm-hmm. Amen. Whatever sustains life is because God has given it to you. And more importantly and more gloriously, God has given of himself in the person of Jesus Christ that we might have a reason and a purpose for being here and listening to the yoga. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you'd be home. I thank God for you. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about our free will. Free will today. I think that's the message. See, because God has willed creation into existence. And God has willed into this creation that which sustains life. And God has willed in his own person that we might be saved by that which he has willed and has acted out at the cross of Calvary and then at the resurrection on the third day. God has willed that, and it worked pretty good if you don't, amen? But you got to act upon it. Because the other side of that was that in Adam's free will, what did he do? He decided against what God has said, and he has brought death upon us all. It doesn't matter how much cream for the wrinkles you buy, you're gonna grow old and go. The wages of sin is death, right? And you're still in this body. This body is a sinful product, man. Amen? But the point is that God has said that you may have eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that life is in us. And we know by the test that the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Amen? So it doesn't matter how old I am, God thinks I'm a little child. All right? And so that's hopeful. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 8 momentarily and take a look there, verses 5 through 6. Hebrews 8. We have to consider what we... what we say. Hebrews chapter 8. Do we speak according to the oracles of God? Amen. Our free will, folks, our free will determines a lot of things, either for the good or for the bad. In Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 5. We serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen? So what is that new promise? Jesus Christ has fulfilled and completed that which was a shadow of things to come. Now here's the beauty of it. The Bible says that when Moses finished building the tabernacle and everything that went in it, the Bible says he did it exactly the way God had described it to him in the mount. And what was the result of that? The doing it exactly as God said. Victory. Victory. An outcome that to this day was prophetically established, giving those Jews hope of that which was to come. Now today we live based on that hope that was fulfilled a little better than 2,000 years ago, and God to this day has a word that we do well in just doing it the way he says and agreeing with God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are we actually living and speaking according to the truth recorded for our benefit. I always think about God sitting on his throne, and he's constantly telling me, Jose, you need me. He's constantly telling all of us, guys, do it the way I say it, and say it the same way I say it, and live it the way I say it. Are you with me this morning, folks? Let's look at, for instance, John chapter 14. Those things were a shadow of things to come. Now, here's something really cool, and it's something I'm looking forward to. Amen. In John chapter 14, John 14. Verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I believe that that's going to happen. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes for the church, he's not going to set foot on ground. The Bible says that when he comes for you and me, he's going to come in the air. And the Bible says we're going to meet with him in the air in the clouds. Okay? If you've ever seen a marriage ceremony, where the bride comes down, that white, piece of paper on it, comes down on that white thing, that is a symbol of the bride. And what normally happens is usually the groom comes out from some door representing Jesus leaving heaven, and he comes, and he stands. The bride comes to him on that white sheet which represents the clouds. And then she sits next to him. She says, stands by, right by him. You follow? That is a picture of the rapture. How many of you knew that?
Learned something new. Mm-hmm.
The whole wedding ceremony is about the bride connecting with Jesus for all of eternity. Amen? So anyway, that's what a wedding ceremony represents. You cannot really avoid God in a wedding ceremony, whether you like God or not. It's all about God. Everything. Without exception. But we're going to meet him in the clouds, right? Why is that going to happen? Because God said it will. You see? God said it will. Why would I want to say something different? Everything that God says is perfect. Why would I want a different opinion about anything that I say? Why would Adam be compelled to use his liberty and do something different? God already warned him, you're going to die, you do that, you're going to croak, you're going to die. And he has passed death upon all of us. One man has passed death upon all of us, right? Bless God for the second Adam, because of Jesus. We now all have eternal life in him, right? It's a decision. Remember what Jesus said on the way to the cross? Not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
Because he decided on the side of God. Nobody said, not my will, but yours be done. And because of that, I stand here with eternal life. And I know it because the Spirit of God is in here telling me these things are true. I've experienced it. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. If that were not true, I don't know why would anybody be here, quite frankly. I don't come to church to be saved. I come to church because God saved me. You understand? There are religions that teach you, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to keep the golden rule. If you could keep the golden rule, you'd be exactly as Jesus. You wouldn't need it. But nobody keeps the golden rule. If he offends in one point of the law, you're guilty of all of that. We need a Savior. And God said, here am I, send me. See, what you say means a lot. Are you with me? What are we saying that is in parallel to what God wills for your life. Do we agree with God? Do we say and do? Or do we say one thing and do another? You cannot separate what you believe and do. Amen? Therefore, why not just say what God says? If God says, hey, you'll die if you do that, well, don't say something different. Don't do something different. Your free will is to be in concert with the will of God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All of creation is in concert with the will of God. We are the only thing in creation that can say, I'm going to do something different. Isn't that amazing? There's a lot of responsibility. You know what? How many of you like Spider-Man? You guys like Spider-Man? I love Spider-Man. I'm into Spider-Man. And there's that one line where the uncle tells the boy.
Great power comes great responsibility.
Say what?
Great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, sir. Great power. You got a lot of great power because you've got free will. You can do for yourself and for others, or you can do against yourself and against others. Mm-hmm. Free will is a massive responsibility. And yet, I like my freedom, don't you? Mm-hmm. Why do you think people are leaving other countries to come here in masses? Okay. Amen. God says, I like this conversation between Jesus and Pilate. Let's entertain ourselves there again in chapter 18 of John. Chapter 18 of John. Okay. We pick it up in verse 33. John 18, 33. It says there that then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence? Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king of the Jews? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I love the way that Jesus tells him, you're the one that's saying it. I love it. I love it. His glorious majesty in the simplicity of his existence on this planet demands the fact that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Just his presence. He doesn't have to say it. We know it. You know it. You say it. He's just looking for a way out because he's in trouble. Every title of the Lord Jesus Christ is an imposition when you're on the other end of it. Amen? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Go with me there, please. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Note verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Wow. That's amazing. He's it. Look at verse 22. 22 verse 4. Chapter 22 verse 4. And they shall see his face. And it's and where was I? 22.
Verse 4.
Did I bypass it?
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And that is not verse 5, I'm sorry. And there shall be no night there, and they shall have no need of candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know why he is going to shine the brightness of that city? Because he is the light of all men. Mm. That's his nature. That's who he is. He's not going to, oh, here I am, here up in heaven in the glory. Let me generate this light. He is the light. There's nothing to generate. He's it. Pilate, you say that I am. I don't have to tell you. You know it. You know it. You know how many people reject Christ knowing that it's true? What this Bible says? It's not because they don't know it. It's just that they decide. They've got free will to accept, to receive, or reject. Somebody the other day said to me, just this past week, let me quote the scripture first so that you don't scream at me. The Bible says specifically in John chapter 1, verse 12, for as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he power, which is the authority, to become the sons of God. Right? Amen. Now, if the Bible says that in order to be a child of God, you've got to receive him. If you've not received Jesus Christ, are you a child of God? Yes or no? I didn't say that. Because the general philosophy is in the world, well, we're all children of God. Not if you didn't receive Jesus, according to that scripture. Now, the Bible says a poet gives credibility in the book of Acts that we are an offspring of God. That's true. But in order to be a child of God, you have to personally receive Jesus. Otherwise, you're not a child of God. Because the Bible says that.
Because you know him.
So, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called on Jesus to save because I knew I was in trouble. I had offended him. I didn't offend him in my actions, in my thoughts. I am an offense by nature. Have you ever seen a baby? My grandson, my great-grandson. Don't feed that kid on time and he'll make a mess. He'll kill you if he don't feed him. Will he scream? He'll make your life miserable. Amen. I don't think Jesus screams at the parents. I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes I think about things like that. I have no Bible verse to prove it. I kind of, Jesus is different, right? But which way do we decide life? On his word or on what I feel? Well, certainly, that is the will of God, that we decide on his word, on his truth, because we can decide on the opposites. When Adam and Eve decided, contrary to what God said, you and I, no matter how much wrinkled cream you buy, you're going to get old and you're going to die if Jesus doesn't come first. Right? Doesn't matter how many health products you buy, how many, listen, folks, if you don't believe it, go to the cemetery. People are dying to go there. Anyways, that's an oldie but goodie, I guess. It still works.
My dad says that one all the time.
Thou sayest it. I love it. And you know, Jesus has like this imposing personality because he is God after all. And if you look, this is what I mean. In Matthew chapter 27, if you will, please. Matthew 27. We'll pick it up in verse 18, please. Hey, folks, thanks again. I appreciate your patience and participation. Matthew 27:18, for he knew, now this is talking about Pilate. Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate knew it. Look at verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So he knew who Jesus was. He was advised by his wife. Don't have anything to do with this. The political expediency created a different decision in Pilate. Didn't they threaten him? Says, if you don't take him out, we're going to accuse you to Caesar. Because they made up a story that Jesus was going to take over his kingdom. And by the way, there's nothing that's going to stop that. Jesus is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day when he comes, he will establish his kingdom. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But he didn't come to take over anybody's kingdom at that time. The king came to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, because only he can do it. And he did it for us. And because you received him, now you too can live with the hope of a perfect kingdom, and you will rule with him as a king and a priest. And that's all in the future just yet, right? But Jesus didn't say, hey guys, I'm going to take over here, you know, and we're going to take Pilate out. Can you imagine? Could there be a perfect kingdom with imperfect people? The Jews would have let Jesus live. Had he overthrown the Roman Empire and all the other kingdoms, they would have been fine. They would have never killed him. But you can't have a perfect kingdom with sinners. The problem is not Joe Biden. The problem is that Joe Biden is a sinner. Right? He needs Jesus. He's not enlightened to the person of Christ. I have never seen any. Everything that God is against is in that administration.
Yes, it's bad.
Everything. Mm-hmm. That everything is God is against, you know. He's got in his administration thinking he's doing great things, but he's blind to the fact of God and his love and everything else. Amen? You cannot have a perfect kingdom when we as sinners are imperfect. We can hope for better things. We can hope that we get people in power that love God and that are committed to his word. And right, that would be the great things, but that's still not going to make it all perfect. In the meantime, we got to deal with what we got. We pray for them. We pray that they'll get saved, that they'll get the light of Christ. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, how do we decide on a personal level? On a daily basis, is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will I decide in favor of his word, or will I decide according to how I feel? Don't the feelings, I feel this and that. Boy, it looks like our feelings are God a lot of times, right? No. Jesus said, not my will. When he didn't feel like going to the cross, he said, not my will, but yours be done, and therefore you and I are saved. Amen. See the benefit that we're enjoying today because of a decision made by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The principle and the pattern does not end. We too can decide on the side of God and do it the way he says, and you will benefit. See, Jesus Christ, where is he now? The right hand of the Father, amen? And you know where he's standing? Because from the first day that his first child was murdered, Stephen, he's ready to come back. Because vengeance belongs to him. Mm-hmm. And remember this, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, that event just took place a few moments ago for God. So he's standing right now, ready to come back and establish his kingdom, bring out his wrath upon a God-hating, God-denying world. But you and I, in the meantime, we have reason to decide on what God says, and to be a personal benefit and a benefit to others. Amen. Aren't there decisions daily as husbands, wives, children, neighbor? Isn't there an instruction to decide on how to act, on how to carry out our daily responsibilities? Isn't what God says always perfect? It created what sustains you and me today. There's a gospel decided by God, and it saves us and gives us hope today. Are we not smarter by deciding to do according to his will?
Yes.
I trust that we are. I trust that we will. Our feelings are going to get in the way. There are circumstances that don't look that good. It didn't look that good for Jesus at a particular moment, right? But he made the right decision. Mm-hmm. And he's at the right hand of the Father in his glory, ready to bring his glory here to earth. He is the captain, the author of our faith. Let's learn to decide on the side of God. And you'll do very well by yourself and by others.